With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Permission granted.
All right.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Glad you're with us on a fine Friday, everybody. On Monday, we switch time slots, moving into the 9 a.m. until noon Eastern slot here on CBS Sports Radio. And there's a couple of things to remember. If you can't normally listen during those hours because, say, you're working or whatever, or your local affiliate has other programming on, that's okay. Because if you listen to us on the way home, you can still do that. Our shows every day will be automatically uploaded to our podcast page. So if you use iTunes, just go to podcast, search DACBS. You'll see full episodes of the show that's up there right now. It'll continue the same way when we move into the time slot on Monday. You can pick the hour that you want to listen to or all three of the hours and just hit play on your ride home and put us on the speaker, just on your phone. Put it in the passenger seat or in your cup holder and just listen to us, and you get no updates and no commercial interruptions. So it's just distilled, boiled down to the very essence of the DA. You could also, for Easter, ask for an auxiliary cord if your car has one, where you just plug your phone into the dashboard and then listen to us through your speaker. Or if you have a really cool little situation, you could just Bluetooth us through your car and listen. But here's also the best part. Every show is going to be on the web. They're actually going to put cameras in here and webcast our show. And that is going to live on the internet for all 24 hours. So all you have to do is, when you're in front of a computer, if you just want to watch the show, just go to watchda.com, and at any point in the day, just hit play, and the whole show is going to be there, which is amazing. And we are definitely going to make it worthwhile to watch. So there's just so many ways you can listen. There's so many ways you can watch. If you don't want to use iTunes, we have just the normal web page with all of our segments on it that you can just hit play and listen to the full show. Very easy. Just hit play once an hour, top of the hour. Boom, I want to hear hour one. Let it play all the way through. Hour two, all the way through. Hour three, all the way through. That's daoncbs.com. Or just go to the network's webpage, cbsportsradio.com, and then click on our show tab, my name, and just bookmark it. You could always go there to listen. So there's a million ways you'll be still able to listen, carry us with you, listen whenever you want, watch whenever you want. And if you're at work looking to kill time in the middle of the day, early in the day, before you catch lunch, on your way to work, just stream us. Boom. Easy as that. If your local affiliate carries us, that's awesome. But if not, just stream us on your phone, CBS Sports app, or the TuneIn app, or the radio.com app, or Apple Music. Also, you could just go to our website. As I mentioned, you can watch it, or you can listen to it. CBSSportsRadio.com is going to have the Listen Live link, or the Watch Live link. And what I gather, because we haven't ever used the fully operational Death Star of the webcast, We actually have a way for listeners to chat with the show if they're watching the webcast. Is that right, Mraz? There's going to be a box, and you can just chat whatever you want. This is dangerous for our listeners.
Yeah, so I guess it's basically going to be like a live chat the entire time that we're on the air. Talk to us, almost like we do a little bit on the Facebook Live when you can kind of chime in.
Yeah.
Except this will be for the full 3 hours of the DA.
So that's a little dangerous. I mean, basically, whatever you want to say is going to be posted right on the webcast, right on the front page, and everyone's going to be able to read it. So if they're trashing us, they're going to be able to reach everybody by doing that.
Now, do you think this would be like Yelp reviews where you really only get negative ones?
I think there's going to be a lot of everything. Knowing our listeners, knowing the D-Aliens, I got a feeling there's going to be a lot of everything. So that starts on Monday. We're super excited. Hopefully you guys are as well. It's going to be very cool. We've been looking at the NFL draft and many draft prospects over the last couple of weeks. And how about David Sharp? Left tackle for the Florida Gators. He has started 26 of the last 27 games for the Gators at left tackle. And just so happened those 2 years, they were SEC East champions and went to the SEC championship game. The guy is 6'6 and 340 some odd pounds. And is projected by some circles to be going as high as the second round. He joins us here on the show. David, how you doing?
How you doing? I'm good.
I'm doing well, man. How's everything been going? Are you excited about this draft coming up here in a few weeks?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm ready for it to be done. I've been traveling around, you know, meeting a lot of coaches and everything. It's been a great experience. But, yeah, I'm ready for it in 2 weeks.
You worked out, or you met with the Lions and the Niners. I read that you also have a workout and a meeting with the Panthers. How have you felt like those meetings have gone?
They've gone really well. I've got some great feedback from them all. I worked out with the Panthers in Tampa. Those were my first two, and they went really well. So I got Carolina on Monday, and that should go well, too.
You played basketball in high school, and you were very, very heavily recruited, basketball, football. When did you decide that you were going to take the football route?
I always knew it would be football. Basketball was just a sport I started out with, and I could play first, you know, as a kid. So I just kept playing it, but I grew up a big love for football, and, you know, it took over later on in the career.
Interesting. So you could play it first because what, your town had a basketball team and didn't have a football team, or your parents wouldn't let you play football?
It was mostly because of my size. Being as big as I was, I couldn't play, you know, at a young age.
Oh.
So the first time I was able to play was middle school for football, but I could play basketball right away. So just wanted to be active, and I ended up liking it. So
in third grade, you're wanting to play football, and they're like, no, you're going to hurt somebody.
Right.
That's amazing. So you had to wait to play, huh?
Yeah. Father didn't want me out there. You know, I would have had to play, you know, at the highest age, and he didn't want me out there early like that at a young age. So
that's incredible. What made you decide to go to Florida? Because when you committed to the Gators, you were considered basically the jewel of their recruiting class a couple of years ago.
Just growing up, been a big Gator fan all my life. Mom and dad, household Gator fans. So it was pretty much easy, you know, at the end of the day.
Mm. David Sharp joins us, offensive lineman, left tackle for the Florida Gators. Now, I think that you were playing at the end of last season at about 350 or so, and then I read that you were down in the 340s and that maybe the league's executives want you to lose even more weight. What are you down to right now?
I'm still 340 right now. I'm still trying to lose weight. I'm also gaining muscle, too, so, you know, it's a little tough, but definitely still losing. Planning to lose about 5, 10 more pounds.
So the target weight is like 330, 335, something like that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So how are you trying to lose weight? What's the workout regimen like?
Well, just running, you know, this is a regular workout, running and working out every day, eating better. You know how to eat now, so, you know, it's much easier. But just, you know, eating healthier, you know, and getting that run in.
God, doesn't that suck, eating the lean meats and the greens and the vegetables and fruits? It just sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah, man. I don't know the last time I had some fried, man.
Yeah, I feel you on that, and I hate that every single day. I hate it. But, you know, you got to do things when you have to be a certain way. Do you have to try to keep yourself healthy? And so, yep. You know, going through Florida, you were only there 3 years. Did you think about coming back for your senior season?
I did. But I sat down, you know, with family and coaches, and they thought it was best, you know, to go. So
interesting. So they thought it was best. You didn't necessarily think it was best.
I thought it was best also. I thought I had a pretty good chance. You know, the class is really weak this year. So definitely thought it was a good chance for me to go this year.
Yeah, that you could take advantage of kind of a thin crop of offensive linemen and jump up in your stock. So there was that story that was out there that you were legally blind in your right eye, and then you said, no, this is false. Where do you think that came from?
I'm not sure, man. It was a lot of, you know, false accusations. I don't know where it came from. It was just some false info. You know, it was very wrong. But it's not, I guess, I don't think it's a big deal, but it was just some false info. It was wrong.
So do you have teams that are, I don't know, testing your eyesight or having you do eye tests to just double check on that?
Not really. I did it at the combine, and I mean, they pretty much, the trainers of the teams pretty much know what's going on. I mean, guys have played with it before in the league, and it's not really been a problem. It really doesn't affect me, but, you know, it's not a problem.
Oh, interesting. So there is something kind of altered maybe about your eyesight, but it's not legally blind. You've been able to play with it, and you've had it tested by medical people and trainers and stuff like that.
Correct. Yeah, I had a cataract removed when I was 6 years old, so, you know, just battling that and dealing with that, you know, since I was young, but it's not affected.
Everybody loves your size because obviously you're 6'6", big frame, but you carry it well, and you're really athletic for the weight that you carry and your size as well. Is that one of your strengths, you feel, kind of your ability to kind of move and move athletically at that position? Because, you know, when you're that large on the offensive line, especially in the NFL, it's so important to be able to move around easily.
Definitely. I feel like it's a big strength. Definitely my size and being able to move, and, you know, my feet, pretty good feet, you know, just growing up playing basketball and, you know, working on it. And I think it's a big advantage.
Some people have said you're still raw, that you've got a ways to go in terms of polishing technique and really getting to the next level. And I think actually that's a good thing because it means that, you know, your potential is even higher. Is that how you feel, like there's a whole nother level for you to get to when you get to the NFL?
Definitely got a lot to work on. Definitely got to work on a lot of technique and a lot of things. You know, I'm definitely not done. You know, I got a lot of upside, I feel like. And I feel like I'll be, you know, pretty good, you know, in years to come.
David Sharp, offensive lineman, been a left tackle for the Gators the last two seasons, started 26 of the last 27 games. They were back-to-back SEC East champions. Joining us here on the show, and prognosticator saying he could jump into the second round to be drafted. David, man, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck, buddy, and I appreciate you taking time.
All right, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You got it. David Sharp joining us here on the show as we've lock down a bunch of these potential prospects that are going to be drafted coming up here in a couple of weeks. Now, a little bit less than 2 weeks away. It was 2 weeks from last night where the first round is going to be. And coming up on Monday when we shift into the new time slot, Miami quarterback Brad Kaya is going to join us here on the show. So that is very cool. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, Jose Reyes is doing something that every time I hear about this, I just shake my head and go, how? How and why would you want to do this? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
The way sports talk was meant to be, on an imaginary spaceship. DA on CBS Sports Radio.
22 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Starting on Monday, we'll have the web stream going on of the show. So we'll have the cameras here inside the studio going on. You could watch it by going to watchda.com every single day. There's one thing I don't get. I don't get athletes with double lives. I don't get anybody with a double life. I don't understand it. I could never do it. I don't understand how anybody has the bandwidth to pull this thing off. Where you have one family, one wife, one set of kids, one place, and then you have another one, another place. That I cannot compute. I don't know how you could handle anything more than one family. One family is so overwhelming as it is. I mean, whether it's handling your spouse, driving your kids around, doing the whole house thing, going to extended family stuff, parties and holidays and birthdays and recitals and mowing the lawn and this and that and this and that and this and that. It's like you are just covered all the time in stuff and things to do. I mean, you're like gasping for air. We're all gasping for air. There's never enough time to do what you really want to do. And then the little time that you have, you know, you have like 2 hours at home at night. Maybe you have an hour. Maybe you have a half hour. Maybe you just get 45 minutes before you got to go to bed where it's like your time. You know, maybe if you're real lucky, like one Sunday a month, you can sit down and get like 5 hours of football in. Like all 5 hours. Like a game and a half. You know, like you get the full 1 o'clock game and then maybe you even get like half the Sunday night game. But that alarm clock's always going off. There's always somewhere to drive. There's always something to do. The Saturday that you just want to hang out and have beers and not do anything, you got to go to some stupid thing for the family. It never ends. Never. And then there's people that do this twice, like two of them, like simultaneously. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I can't understand it. Like, you grind all week and you have that 1 hour a day or you have that one random Saturday where you got nothing to do and then you're going to fill that with another family? Like, no thanks. No thank you. Jose Reyes's ex-girlfriend claims that she was the second family. And she also says that the struggling Mets third baseman is struggling because he's guilty over all of this. Christina Sanchez tells the New York Daily News that she's also feeling bad, but he's got a guilty conscience and it's affecting his at-bats because of their 6-year affair and their 7-year-old daughter. I don't know how that math works. I think it might be the other way around, like the 7-year affair, 6-year-old daughter. Anyway, I think it's his. I guess it can't be if she's older than the affair, but that math is also daily news.
Well, does one night constitute an affair?
Well, I mean,
maybe like they got into like a relationship a year after. Like maybe the kid was an accident, and then when he found out he was having it, he ushered in a side relationship.
But then, so the daughter that they had together is not part of the affair until they make it official that they're dating?
Listen, his whole story's whacked up. I think that's a possibility.
According to the girlfriend, the ex-girlfriend, she is suing Jose Reyes for a significant increase in child support from $11,000 a month to $41,000 a month for one daughter. That's a really expensive daughter. She says that her and her daughter were Reyes's road family while he was with the Mets, the Marlins, and the Blue Jays. She said, we'd go to restaurants, go to games, go shopping. That was the life I was living. It was a double life, but I wanted him to be a father of our child. Like, again, could you imagine having your own family and then having to go to restaurants with another one? Having to go to shop with another one? No thanks. You know? Give me some pool time and a couple of beers. I don't need the second family. She says that he wants a gag order so that she doesn't blow up all the details of this whole thing. And she also says that she was just one of many girlfriends on the road that his teammates had as second girlfriends or second families. Now, the second girlfriend, the girlfriend thing, I see from athletes, you know, yeah, that you could totally see that whole life playing out. But another family? What are you doing? You're not playing your cards right. I mean, you're stupider than I thought. According to his girlfriend, she needs more money from $11,000 to $41,000 a month because now she's gotten back on track with her singing career. Oh, yeah, we've heard this one before. It's always the singing career. She said she had to put the singing career on the back burner when they were dating to raise the daughter. But now that they're broken up, she needs way more money. She's trying to get that singing career going on.
Got to sing those Billy Joel covers.
Do you know? I don't know if Christina Sanchez sings Billy Joel covers. She says she didn't know she was the second family. He was married, where he had a girlfriend and another child with another woman. She says she found out that she was the second family when she read about his wedding in the newspaper. Now, I mean, how about that? You know, sometimes that Facebook can come back to bite you. Like, ooh, who's this girl? Oh, why did she tag you in that old picture? Well, who just messaged you? You know, but rarely do you get found out because your girlfriend read about your wedding in the newspaper.
You got to have multiple cell phones, right?
Got to have a burner phone.
Yeah, it's got to be a cell phone per girl.
This is what I'm talking about. It's too confusing. I could never do this. I could just never. Number one, why would you bother? If you're Jose Reyes and you're playing 162 freaking baseball games a year, okay, and plus you have spring training and you have this and you have that, the little free time that you have, would you want to be basically having to take care of another child and another wife? That just seems like no. These baseball players must have women thrown at them all of the time. I mean, what are you doing getting another family? It just, you know, that's why Derek Jeter is the smartest athlete that has ever walked the face of the earth. You stay single your entire career. You just play the field through your entire career. No kids. Play the field. And then the moment that you don't have that earning potential anymore, you lock down the hottest one and you make sure the hottest one was the last one. You just lock it down. And so, I mean, he walks out of the game having dated every hot actress or singer or whatever in Hollywood for 20 years. And then on his way out the door, he's like, oh, and I'll marry the swimsuit model that's 20 years younger than me. And scene. Like, yeah, good plan. Meantime, Jose Reyes is busting his tail for 12 years trying to take care of two wives. I mean, what are you doing? And trying to keep them separate and keep them secret, and then suddenly you're in the papers for marrying one and the other one finds out? I mean, how dumb you got to be?
The irony and basically the difference between the Yankee and Met organizations, huh?
And the difference in their careers. One's a Hall of Famer, one is blown potential. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll jump back into your phone calls coming up here next. Also, you know I love jerseys. We've had two logo and jersey changes in the last 48 hours. We will discuss and grade them out, both the Timberwolves and the Lions. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The Zap Zap, you're on board.
Yo, the struggle is real. Permission to come aboard, homie.
Granted.
Love your show, DA. You the man.
Thanks, buddy.
Oh, no, now y'all know.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Now y'all know.
That's very good, Damon.
The DA show is always streaming. Use the CBS Sports app, the TuneIn app, the radio.com app, or Apple Music. And the PGP is available right now. This week's permission granted podcast features. Producer Dave Shepard, formerly of the Scott Farrell Show. By the way, last night, Scotty Farrell was en fuego, just on fire, giving his farewell State of the Union address here for our show, his show, and the network. Mraz, I knew at the moment that it was a brilliant Scotty Farrell move and a brilliant Scotty Farrell segment. But when I posted that on SoundCloud and then tweeted it out and put it on Facebook, I didn't think we'd have this many listens. It has blown up all day. It's been retweeted. People have been listening. People have been commenting on it. It's been shared. People have gone gaga over Farrell on the show last night.
I have received multiple tweets all day telling me to get the bagels and donuts, fat ass.
You know, for real, and I think we can both attest to this, Scott Farrell is one of the most real people in this business. He treats everybody the same, whether you're a suit, whether you're a producer, whether you're a host, whether you're part of the janitorial staff. He treats everybody the same with respect. He'll talk to you. He'll chatter with you. He'll bust jokes on you. He is one of a kind, and what you hear on the radio is totally what you get, and I love him for it.
He's almost remarkably too honest, if that makes any sense.
Possible.
But it's possible because, like, as much he loves you, like, you could tell when you've annoyed him too, and he'll let you know that you've annoyed him and bury you for it as well.
Yeah.
But do the flip side where, like, you know, he'll bust on somebody else to you and have a good time. Like, he is almost remarkably honest. Probably the most honest person I've ever met in my life.
He also made our lives totally worth it when we were doing overnights.
Because big pick-me-up.
Big pick-me-up. You're coming in to get on the air at 2 a.m., and you're not going to get off of the air until 6 a.m. And especially for you and Brock, because you had been here for hours before, you are trying to make it to 2 a.m. without falling asleep and not drag ass. And he, in commercial breaks or after he's done coming off the air, you know, we would take over after he was done off the air. And Scott still is going a mile a minute at that point in time, commercial breaks, he's joking around and laughing and everything. How huge was it to have, I mean, not only Scotty, but that whole staff in place that we were basically buds with?
It's funny because I despise coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker, and many people asked how I could get through overnights without coffee. Farrell was my coffee.
Yeah.
Like, he jacked me up. It was almost like drinking Mountain Dew, which Brock did plenty of. Like,
yeah.
My blood was just, it was going. I was hyped up because Farrell was just a mile a minute about everything, giving me belly laughs, and he really loosened it up. It was almost like when we would go out there and do a good show, it was like Farrell was a good opening act for us, and not the show he did. I'm talking about the show he did in the newsroom, where it really loosened us up, and then we were ready to go at 2 a.m. Eastern.
It's so true. And, you know, Farrell is a total legend. He's been doing this as long as anybody. I mean, I specifically remember watching Letterman the night that he was on Letterman. I mean, he was on freaking Letterman when he was named the voice of the Atlanta Thrashers. And it was a huge, huge kind of sports piece of news. I think the Thrashers they debuted in 2000, if I'm not mistaken. And he was named the voice of the Thrashers. And people say, you're going to make a sports talk host, your play-by-play guy? You're going to make your sports talk host this kind of loud, brash, obnoxious guy with the crazy voice? He's your play-by-play guy? And Farrell came out on stage with Letterman and was jumping around, and it was amazing. And I remember watching going like, this is unreal. And then having the chance and then listening to what he did on Sirius and listening to what he did on WNEW and all of these other things, I just was so thrilled that we were being able to work alongside him. And I was just thrilled we could follow him. That was like the biggest thrill in the world. So now we were the other end of the bookend. When we ended, he was coming on the air, so we get to see Scotty every night. So we have seen Scott Farrell and his crew, give or take producers that have moved on, like producer Shep, who's getting shanked in the middle of the Memphis City School Districts right now. We've seen Scott and his crew every day for nearly 5 years, every night when we come on the air or sign off the air. So that's tough, man, because I love Scott more than anything, and I just think his show is unbelievably good. And I said this last night, and I'll say it again, I have oftentimes sat in that newsroom after we get off the air, all right? And then I end up doing kind of post-show work and post-show production and going through some of the audio that we have and whatnot. And I'll be listening to Scott and be like, damn it, why didn't I think of it to handle it that way? Why didn't I think of that opinion? Like, he's always a step ahead, and he goes places that other people just simply won't go. And I'll listen and be like, God, I wish I could go there, but like, I can't. Scott can. So I just think he's amazing. And what he did last night of the show, just trashing everybody and trashing everything and trashing the network, but then also giving love where it was needed and what was awesome. So if you haven't gotten a chance to listen to his farewell State of the Union address, you got to do it. It's on our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheDAShow. And then we've also tweeted it out a couple of times. That is from the Twitter handle DA on CBS. He's also taking great shots at you all night long, which is great, about you basically doing no work because the Rangers are on.
He's really leaving us with one last Twitter punch to my face.
And it's pretty great because he just keeps going after Mraz. Pharrell tweets, "Here's a description of Mraz at work tonight. Doing absolutely nothing for the show, watching the Rangers game. Hashtag skating, hashtag worthless, hashtag winging it." Pharrell tweets, "On the holiest of days, Mraz's first words to his wife today, Eli is not a liar." Pharrell tweets, "Mraz finally admits to family on Easter weekend, quote, Pharrell is right. I love playoff hockey more than any of you." Pharrell tweets, "Mraz to DA in a commercial break. F Pharrell, F the Penguins, F that Penguin BS. I never liked that guy. Glad we're moving to mornings." He's on fire tonight. It's great. It really is. Mraz just tweeted out the link as well to Pharrell last night, so you can check that out. Mraz's handle is MrazCBS. So we were talking about those new uniforms, and both the Timberwolves and the Lions have redesigned their unis over the last 48 hours. We'll start with the Detroit Lions. I'm glad they eliminated the black. I'm very, very happy they took that black out. That was a symbol of the disastrous Matt Millen era. And I read that Millen wanted black in the uniform because he was a former Raider, which is just so stupid in so many ways. The Lions have one of the great color schemes ever. Honolulu blue and silver. It is perfect for Detroit. It is perfect for that city. It's perfect for that team. It's just perfect. Just perfect. And I'm glad that they got rid of the black. I really am. I'm very glad, and I think that looks much better. I'm a little worried because they made that middle stripe down the helmet way wider than it used to be, and I think that it could look kind of dopey. I also don't like that they put lions. They've written lions on one of the shoulders. That I know is going to look dopey. When you have a classic uniform, you don't have to tell anybody what team you are. When you have any uniform, you don't have to tell people in football what team you are.
Didn't they do that with the Browns on the pants? Like, doesn't it say Browns on the pants now?
It's the worst part of the Browns uniforms, is that it says Browns on the pants. It's the single worst part. But largely, I think that the bar is set so low because of Nike's redesigns, who have botched so many of these are actually good. These are an upgrade. They're not perfect, but they're an upgrade. I don't love the all grays that they're going to wear as part of the color rush. I'm not in love with all grays in general. I think it looks kind of stale and dank, like my basement. But if the home uniforms have no black and they've made them kind of more traditional, fine. It's an upgrade. Again, the Nike redesigns, like the Buccaneers, like the Dolphins, like the Browns, have all been just a nightmare. And this relationship with Nike, I just think, is a total failure by the NFL. But the NFL basically doesn't care because Nike likes to pay a good piece of money, good chunk of change to have those rights. But Color Rush is disgusting, and all these jersey redesigns are largely disgusting. For the Timberwolves, I'm bummed. Their new logo is just the Phoenix Coyotes logo. It's the same howling dog. The same exact howling dog is the Arizona Coyotes logo. But this one's a Timberwolf, and it has some trees in the background. The same thing. And they go to the Seahawks colors? Like, come on. The Timberwolves had one of the coolest logos and unis when they debuted. It was blue. It was silver with a little touch of green. And it was the old school wolf that kind of looked like a husky, but like a wolf with a basketball behind it. Instead, now he's howling just like the Arizona Coyote. And the colors are just like the Seattle Seahawks. And it's just basically their third logo that's now become their first logo. Total missed opportunity. Because with Karl Anthony Towns, as good as he is, you're going to have a lot of Wolves gear that kids would want to buy and that people would want to buy. And it just, it looks like they just recycled somebody else's logo and somebody else's colors. Too bad. God, I love those old Wolves uniforms. We looked them up the other day once they redesigned these ones. I looked at the rookie season Kevin Garnett uniforms. Oh, glorious. 855-212-4CBS. Steve is next up in California, listening on CBS Sports Radio's 1450 there. What's up, Steve?
Good day, sir. Can I get a beam up, please?
You know it. What's up?
I'm going to save my best for last. First of all, I heard you talking about uniforms. L.A. Rams need to just go back to their old blue and yellow.
Absolutely.
It was the best looking ever.
Loved it.
Second thing is, yes, also you're right, the color burst or whatever the hell their uniforms are, those are crap. And third, I now think that there needs to be a cage match.
Mm.
Cage match. Mraz and whoever he decides to can convince to go in along with him versus Pharrell and Betty White.
Could you imagine the ferocity, the anger that Mraz would have towards Betty White? You really would take no prisoners. You would really go after Betty White, which is such a bad job by you, but I can see it in your eyes.
Not a bad job by me. I've had enough of her. Gladly, she hasn't gone away because I saw some like tweet that went viral today where somebody said, at 95 years old, Betty White woke up peacefully today, like mocking the idea that she hasn't died. And of course, everybody retweets it. Why? Because they love Betty White enough.
She's like 95 years old. Give her some credit.
I thought about Betty White today. I'm at the supermarket behind two women, had to have been 70 plus, still paying with checks. And I said, this is what Betty White is still doing in a supermarket. Enough.
You're a cold, heartless Grinch, Mraz, and I'll never forgive you for this. Andrew's in Syracuse, listening on the Score 1260. Hello, Andrew.
How you doing, DA?
Good, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks. Can I get beamed up?
Yeah, man. What's up?
Thanks for taking my phone call. First, I want to say I'm sorry for my last phone call.
Oh, yeah. Well, the last one, you were pretty emotional, but you know what? Water under the bridge, buddy. Don't worry about it.
All right, man. Secondly, congratulations on your new time slot. I'm psyched for you.
Thanks, man.
I hope I get more of a chance than I think I might to listen, but you've given out a lot of different ways for me to keep up with it.
So. Cool.
And then I want to talk about the soap opera that has become the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate because I think the NBA is more interesting when the Knicks are good as one of the marquee locations and marquee franchises in the NBA. And, you know, there's a lot of criticism you can dump on Carmelo, but it's just amazing to watch the GM handle it the way he's handled it. And with that, he put out that tweet earlier in the year, you know, Bleachers Report almost ding the bell, you can't get a tiger to change his stripes.
Right.
And now he says he's never criticized him. Well, who in the galaxy was he talking about?
Exactly.
Who in the galaxy was he talking about? And then I don't know who he's going to get in there as a free agent, the way you treat your star player like that. I don't know.
I think he'll
very
be...
Very strange to watch.
It's very bizarre to watch because you thought that Phil Jackson had a better sense of a bigger picture and how the NBA works, and he just seems like he's a fish out of water, like he's never done this before. He's never been around this type of stuff before, but I think he'll be able to attract free agents that he overpays for, like Joakim Noah, but free agents that have options and can control where they go and want to be part of healthy situations, no, he won't be able to get them. He will not. He has proven that it is a dysfunctional atmosphere, and if you're a broken-down commodity or you're going to be able to be overpaid for, yeah, you can control that because you still want to go where the money is, But for big-time free agents that want to be part of winning, because winning is what gets you on TV and winning is what gets you to the playoffs and winning is what gets you the endorsements, you don't have to be in a big market anymore. You know, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City have proven that. Time and time again in the NBA, it has proven you don't need to be in New York or LA or Chicago. You can be in other markets and you can be a star. When we come back, a little five-minute mothership. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.